Good morning, Region. Welcome to the Edison Community Watch Show. I'm Janet Vinez, President of Edison Community Watch and Councilwoman at Large for the City of Hammond. Each month, we bring the message of community and crime watch groups to the region. We want to pass information along that will help protect us and keep our neighborhood safe. We want to encourage our residents to be the eyes and ears of our neighborhood. Above all, we ask you to call the police if you see anything suspicious or something that just doesn't seem right, because community is not just about me, it's about us. Our guests this morning are Hammond Police Chief John Doty, Lieutenant Rudy Gracia, and Corporal Rich Simpson. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
By the way, if anyone has any questions, our phone number is 845-1100. Gentlemen, recently Mayor McDermott announced that the Hammond police officers will soon be equipped with body cameras. You want to tell us about that whole transition?
Well, we've made a decision to move forward in that direction. There seems to be a movement in law enforcement in general across the nation. We've decided to purchase 156 Axon cameras from Taser International. And
not to be confused with the Taser.
Same company.
Same company.
Yeah, same manufacturing company. They offer a camera that comes in several different variations. And we've chosen one of their cameras to be worn on our either vest or shirt that will show sort of a point of view, if you will, of capturing audio and video of officer interaction or actions during an incident.
Now, is Hammond the first community in the area to have the body cams?
We are the first one in Northwest Indiana and one of the first in the state, and we currently are the largest purchase of Axon cameras in the state of Indiana.
Okay. Now, I understand that we already have dash cams on all of the police cars. Is that correct?
Not all of them. All of our frontline vehicles, and we've had them for 16 years.
Frontline meaning?
Meaning all.
Traffic patrol and things like that?
Most traffic, all of all frontline patrol.
Oh, okay. Okay, I see. And the dash cams are standard equipment?
Yes, they are, with new vehicles.
And what about the body cams? Are those going to be standard equipment as well?
Yeah, just like you issued a gun belt, a gun, and any other piece of equipment, it's going to be mandated for uniform patrol officers and some others within the department, but all uniform patrol officers for sure that go out on the street every day.
Okay. Do either of you gentlemen have anything to say about the new body cams that we're going to have?
Well, we did a pretty comprehensive trial of several different cameras, and the ones that we came up with, the ones that are made by Taser International, were head and shoulders above the others that we did. So we actually did a pretty comprehensive trial and evaluation period on that. So we definitely wanted to make sure that we were spending the taxpayers' money in a responsible and efficient way.
What is the difference between the body cams that you looked at? I mean, you talked about being beyond what some of the others are. What set this one apart from the others?
Well, there were a couple things, but one of the primary reasons was the battery life. With these cameras, we can actually go an entire shift and well in excess of an 8-hour shift with this battery. Also, that these have a pre-record function that will pretty much stay on all the time without audio, and the audio will activate once the officer decides to activate the camera. So you're always going to get a little bit of pre-recorded information prior to the officer activating the camera.
Oh, so it'll go back?
Correct.
Oh, okay. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Now, I'm sure that there is a procedural protocol with the operation of these cameras. Will the police officers be trained? Obviously, they will be. But what is the training that would go into the use of these cameras?
Well, they're going to be trained. Every officer that gets a camera is going to be trained in when and when not to use their camera. And basically, that's set up by our protocol, by our new general order governing the use of use wear of body cameras. And we did research on that also. We went out in the nation, and it's a new thing. But, you know, one of the main departments we modeled our protocols after was San Diego. We looked to see what they were doing. They're a very large department. They're a very forward-thinking department. They had just went to the same system that we are, so we were very interested. And then we looked at what they had. We were well on our way, but we took some ideas from them as well and put together our protocols.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about the cameras itself. What is the distance that these will record?
Well, it's got a 130-degree angle, so it's pretty very wide. But you're looking at a distance of, what do you think, probably a good 20 feet or so.
Okay. I think these are a great idea, given what's been going on in the nation as of late. Some of the questions that have arisen as the result of arrests and whatnot, I think this is a great idea. How did the officers feel about these?
Well, in the beginning, you know, we tried to do this 3 or 4 years ago. We had talked about it, and there were two problems then. Technology was not what it is now. You are basically asking an officer to put something on his belt and on his vest and run wires, and technology has changed. Now you're putting one simple device on their vest, which the Hammond Police Department is going to pay for. We're going to put a place to do that. It's convenient now. It's better. It works better. It's easier to download. We have a cloud server with this company where we can save our information. We don't have to house it on site. So all that's changed. The climate in policing has changed over the last couple of years also, whereas officers probably more so didn't want to have, as a group, didn't want to have anything to do with us a few years ago. They just wanted their conduct to stand based on what it is. But everybody has cell phones now. There's other technology out there. And a lot of times now, events are recorded by citizens after the action has started, or the conclusion of the incident is put on YouTube. And then the officer gives his account of the entire incident, and everybody reacts to only the small clip that we saw. Now, again, we'll go right back to the cameras in the vehicles. 16 years we've had them. And almost every case where we reviewed a video where we've had a citizen's complaint, the camera in the car exonerated the officer. As a matter of fact, most of the time, the people walked out of the internal affairs office and says, okay, you got me. I was lying. I wasn't telling the truth. And I think it's very important to point out that the camera systems are for accountability. We want to improve community relations because we're showing that we're willing to be transparent, that we're willing to use these cameras because we're not afraid to show the public what we're doing. If the officer does do something wrong, he'll be held accountable by that video, just like he is by his actions anyway. It'll just be one more little part of evidence that we have in our arsenal to take care of that officer that's not doing his job properly. But that's rare. You know, most complaints that come into the Hammond Police Department, you know, maybe one out of 1,000 is actually correct. You know, that the officer actually did what they're being accused of doing. Mm-hmm. Somebody's usually just upset because they got a ticket, or they're upset because they got arrested and are unhappy about that. But we react very strongly, very quickly, very severely when an officer does step outside the line. So I think one thing that's important for me is that these body cameras are going to show and we're going to have accountability on both sides of the badge. Okay, as a civilian, you're going to be held accountable because we're going to be recording the entire incident. What behavior did you exhibit before that fight with the officer start? You know, we want that. And if our officer was out of line, then we're going to own up to that. We're going to own it for sure. But I think it's very important for everybody to understand that this is accountability on both sides of the badge.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the Edison Community Watch Show on WJOB. Our guests this morning are Chief Doty from the Hammond Police Department, Lieutenant Rudy Grasha, and Corporal Rich Simpson. And we're talking about the body cams that Hammond is going to outfit their police officers with. When is all of this going to take place? I'm sure there's ordering, and or is that all done already?
It's going on now.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll let Rich tell you about some of the steps we're taking and how fast it's going to go. But I would like to add on that there's something else we're adding into this training, and it's called Procedural Justice and Police Legitimacy. Chicago PD is doing this training now, and I'll read you something that I wrote to reference this training just so you have an overview. This training is designed to help officers give the citizens they encounter a voice by listening, remaining neutral while making decisions, show respect, and build trust within the community. So it's just a golden rule. We want to give officers the tools they need to approach citizens in a respectful manner, and hopefully build a relationship with them, or maybe build a relationship with the neighbors on either side of the incident occurred. But basically, having this camera on, you got to put your best foot forward.
And on both sides.
Both sides.
Absolutely.
Right. And we want to make sure our officers have the tools they need personally to put their best foot forward all the time. Mm-hmm. And we're just talking about how you encounter people, how you respect people, show people respect. And then usually that comes back. It doesn't always come back. But your hope is that if you show respect on an initial encounter, and I walk up to your car or I walk up to your home and I'm treating you properly with respect as a person, I'm going to hopefully get that back from you and the encounter will go better. Mm-hmm. And that's what that training is for. So we're adding that into the issue of the cameras.
Okay. Rich?
Well, implementation of the camera system is going to be a process. It's going to take a week and a half or so. We actually have all of the equipment on hand as of last week. So we are currently it's a process. There are quite a few. There are 156 cameras, their docking stations, all of the equipment that goes along with it. So we have to get that issued, and then we also have a representative from Taser coming in next week who will be helping with the implementation. But ideally, we would like to, prior to his arrival, have everything pretty much up and running. So he will be able to come in and any spot check type questions that we have, he can help us out with, do some training of us so we can pass that along to the guys who are actually going to be wearing the cameras. But ideally, we would have the program 90% up and running by the end of this week, or at the very latest on Monday, a week from Monday, a week from today.
Oh, that's really fast. And you know, I think it's great that word is getting out about this, because everybody knows that when you're involved in a heated situation, when you take a step back, you have to think about what really happened and what did I make of it. And now this is going to say exactly what happened, and both sides can see where the police officers may have done something differently, and certainly the residents. The Hammond Police Department has recently, they always did kind of get out in the neighborhood, but now you're doing the coffee with a cop thing, and the more officers are attending the community and crime watch meetings. And I do have to say that we always had the community policing officers at the crime watch meetings, but it's really nice to have some of the street officers come in and meet the residents, so we know who's patrolling our neighborhoods. And it's kind of nice to build a relationship with some of the police officers. So thank you for that. Anything else you want to, information you want to get out there about the body cams and how they're going to benefit each of you? And maybe, I know, Rudy, you're kind of the techno guy, right? For those people out there who are interested in the equipment, the type of equipment, I don't know. What do you want to say about it?
Rich is actually our lead instructor on this. He did a lot of work with the Taser product itself. I actually both ends, the camera and the Taser itself. We will have some information on our website, hammondpolice.com. We'll have some photos of it, what it looks like, and just some of the uses that we'll be using with it.
All righty. It looks as if we have a caller. Lee, good morning. You're on the Edison Community Watch Show.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
Okay. Yeah, I just had a question. It seems like ever since, 9/11, there's been more and more of these cases popping up in the media about confrontations between citizens and the police. The perception is that the police are being trained to be more aggressive in their actions with the public. Has there been a change in training, let's say, since 9/11, as far as how the police handle different situations? It seems like I always grew up with the idea that police try to de-escalate a situation instead of trying to, you know, escalate the use of force. And it seems like more and more of these cases are popping up. Has there been actually a change in the training over the last 10 years, let's say?
Thanks, Lee.
Okay.
No, there's been no change in training, no aggressive posture of police that's not integrated into our culture at all. It seems like across the country right now, as everybody's seeing, there's certain videos, and they're posted and they go viral. So I think the way we communicate socially now has changed. So there's more exposure, and unfortunately there's a lot of misinformation and disinformation that comes along with the types of communication, especially social communication, that goes on. And people bandwagon onto that because they can do so through anonymity. And I think sometimes what you're seeing isn't really what happened, because there's no personal accountability anymore on the way information is put out. And I think that's part of the cultural shift in our community right now, why we're seeing a lot of times there's a movement, or there might be a community social reaction to an incident, and you're not seeing the entire incident, and we should wait and see what happened. You need to trust that the local governments, the police departments, that the FBI, and everybody that looks at these things, you need to take a breath, you need to take a minute, and trust that the criminal justice system works. And they're going to decide what happened in that incident and let that roll out before you take action, and certainly before you take judgment.
All righty, thank you. We do have another caller. Ed, good morning. You're on the Edison Community Watch Show.
Yes, good morning to everybody. I'm just curious as to how these cameras work. In other words, an officer has it on his vest, and what is it, normally in a shut-off position? And then when he sees an incident arising, then he turns it on?
Well, we've kind of outlined in our general order the circumstances by which the officer will activate the camera. But to get to the first part of your question, unless the camera is on a personal unless the officer is on a personal break, that camera is going to be in that pre-record state, meaning that it's going to be recording video with no audio. The officer will then, based upon the criteria of the general order, will activate that camera, and it will activate the audio once he decides to turn it on. So from the time that the officer is dispatched to the time that he actually exits his vehicle on these specific types of calls, he will activate that camera. So it's going to be on pretty much any situation where the officer's been activated.
Yeah. Well, how does he turn it on? By pushing a button or something? Or who activates the camera?
Oh, I see.
Thanks, Ed.
Well, the camera is about, I would say it's about two-thirds the size of an iPhone. And in the middle, there's a button that's about, it's a round button. It's about an inch in diameter there. So he's going to tap that button twice, and that camera is going to activate. And then when all is said and done and the call is over, he just holds the button down for 2 seconds, it beeps, lets him know that it's no longer running, and then it recycles back into that pre-event recording status.
All righty, thank you. We have another caller. Good morning, Dave. You're on the Edison Community Watch Show.
Hi, good morning. I have a question. You know, it's the communication age. And 20 years ago, you could call it a problem or not, but we didn't have these situations 20 years ago because we didn't have camera phones. And I'm not mistaken, Illinois has passed a law that you cannot film an officer while he's working. Where do we draw the line? And I don't want to go off in the weeds with you, but I'd really like your personal opinion. Where does, you know, your own privacy, I mean, you're a city official, you know, you work for the city, you're an employee of the city. Where does, and I mean, your freedom as an officer, where does that come in and not? And I'm not 100% sold on having cameras. That's, and yes, it could go both ways, but, you know, where are you on, I don't know, your personal rights of being filmed or not? And do you think that's even a consideration if you're a city or government employee?
Would you like to, are you asking from, would you like a politician to answer that or a police officer to answer that?
I'm all done with politicians. I would prefer to ask a frontline, you know, policeman like yourself.
Okay. Here's what happens with us. Part of an incident goes out. Everybody makes comments about it without seeing what happened. We're looking forward to these cameras because they're going to help us prosecute cases. They're going to show the initial contact, you know, with the offender. What goes wrong? What is he verbalizing to the officer? What's he doing with his hands? What causes the officer to have to take physical control of him? Is the officer struck and then the officer responds? Does the offender pull a gun and the officer responds? These are things that are not being captured on the video that civilians are taking. And those are the things we need. You're right. Cell phones are here to stay. They're coming in after the fact, and these videos are being used against law enforcement nationwide. We're being literally tried in the social media. And so our response has to be to get the entire event recorded so that we can state our case as it actually happened and take the guesswork out of it. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it's got to be. And I do know Indiana has no law prohibiting a citizen from filming any public event. So that's going to keep going. So this is a recourse to protect ourselves against that, again, misinformation and disinformation, because part of the story, what happened, you need to see everything that happened before you make a judgment.
Okay, that's interesting. Both, you know, you have, from your point, is you would like to have the entire event filmed, but it just seems like from a lot of callers and a lot of people I talk to, it's more about accountability than it is personal protection and getting the whole picture. I prefer to get the whole picture because if you look at social media, and you're right, a lot of times policemen are tried in social media first, which is not fair. But a lot of times when you finally do get the whole picture, it's not even remotely close to what the initial video shows.
I agree with you 100%, and that's why we got to get the whole picture, because by and large, we're getting part of the picture more and more and more often as the events are being filmed from an outsider, a third party, late in the game. Mm-hmm. So we have to protect ourselves against that.
And I appreciate your answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Where do you go with it from there? I understand a person's privacy, but as you said, it's a different world with the cell phones and social media, and how often do we see a snippet on the news that's maybe 3 seconds that you look at it and you go, oh my God, what were they thinking? And then when you see the whole video, you have a better understanding of how things escalated perhaps to the level that they did. I don't know. It's just such it's a different world these days. That's for sure. And John, you always talk about the golden rule, and I think people have kind of lost sight of that you treat people the way you would like to be treated. Is there anything else? I'm kind of at the end of my preparation if there's anything that you guys would like to add.
No, I think we're pretty good at the moment. Thank you,
Janet. Okay, good enough. I want to thank Ryan. How much time do we have left? 2 minutes. Okay, good. Perfect timing then. I always want to extend our gratitude to everyone who serves our city, both our police and fire. I often say that you allow us to sleep at night knowing that you are there to protect us. So with deep gratitude from the city of Hammond, I thank each and every one of you for the job that you do.
Thank you, Janet. Thank you.
The next meeting of Edison Community Watch is Wednesday, May 6th at Edison School. That will be at 6:30 p.m. We've got a bit of a diversion this time. Our guest will be David Plummer, who is the producer for the TV show Windy City Live. He happens to be a Highland resident, and we thought it might be kind of interesting to hear about what he does and how he approaches stories on their TV show. Also, our community policing officer, Sergeant John Muta, will give us the crime stats for the last month and be available to answer any questions that our residents may have. For a list of Community and Crime Watch meetings, you can visit edisoncommunitywatch.com or hammondcrimewatch.com. We ask the region to think about us and not just me. Attend a community or crime watch meeting. It's only through our combined efforts that we can affect change. Talk to you next month. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.